Yeah, it's that time of the year. The first episode from the 2026 Le Mans 24 Hours. Hello, welcome to Gareth Jones on Speed. I'm Gareth, he's Pete.
Hello everyone.
Pete is the drummer in the Gareth Jones of the On Speed band. And it's Pete's first trip to Le Mans, and he's driving us there at the moment in a car that we've borrowed from the mighty Hyundai Corporation. We're driving a Santa Fe, which is their big Range Rover, I suppose, equivalent. Maybe Range Rover Sport, maybe Discovery, something like that sort of size. It's vast, and it's just the right vehicle for carrying all our camping equipment to Le Mans. Pete, you're driving it at the moment. What do you reckon?
Very nice, very comfortable. It's cruising along at 65 miles an hour.
Economically, what are we getting in terms of fuel at the moment?
We're on 37 mpg at the moment. That's for the journey average at the moment, yeah.
Which is pretty good for a car of this size, in my view. I wouldn't say it was full to the gunnels, but I'm just looking behind. Yeah, we're pretty laden. There's only two of us, so we're using the entire back of the vehicle to transport stuff. And we've actually got two vehicles going to Le Mans this year. Behind us is Phil Williams, who you'll know, my mate from Conway, and Chris Ryan, Pete's brother, who is a guitarist in the On Speed band. And the reason why we've got two vehicles this year is that the On Speed band, as you may have heard, are playing at the Team Langoustine campsite where we're staying over the weekend. So we're gigging tomorrow night, and we're bringing with us a drum kit, two guitar amps, some of the biggest pedal boards in the world, and a PA and lights. Seriously, the second vehicle is a what do we call it? California, VW California.
California, yeah.
With two people in it, so there's a lot of gear in there and a lot of gear in here, but we got it in without any problem. And we're driving down the something or other at the moment, yeah, M40, heading down to New Haven, where we're going to get a boat over to Dieppe overnight, so we'll get like 4 hours sleep and be fresh as a daisy when we arrive at the campsite tomorrow. Pete, you've got how many cars?
Two at the moment.
Just two?
Just two.
You've got, what is it, a Mercedes X-Class pickup?
X-Class pickup, yeah. V6, 3-litre diesel.
Yeah.
A BMW 840i petrol.
Nice.
3-litre petrol, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, you turn up for rehearsals in that. I must come in that car with you for a drive at some point.
Yeah.
Are you a BMW man?
Yeah, I've had quite a few BMWs, yeah. I've had an i8 when they first came out.
Oh!
Yeah, that was a really nice car. Regrettably, though, I bought it when it came out at the peak, at its highest, and then I lost all the money on it and sold it for a pittance.
No way! Because they're worth something now, aren't they?
Oh, now they've gone back up again, and now they are, they're going to be a future classic, and it's a car that, I looked after very well. Didn't put massive miles on it, but, suffered the depreciation and sold it at the probably the worst time.
Is that why you sold it, because of its depreciation, or was there something about the car I didn't like?
No, loved the car. It was just every month you look on Auto Trader seeing what they're then worth, and you think, oh shit, I've lost another, X thousands this month. And then I kept telling myself I must get rid of it, and then after 4 years of watching it, about 4.5 years I think I had it, which was the longest time I've ever had a car, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, I decided to get rid, and then regretted it ever since. You still see them now, and I still think, what a beautiful, unique car.
Yeah, both of those things, beautiful and unique. It is dramatic, isn't it? Very efficient and very quick.
Yeah, I've had 3 series, I've had 4 series, 5 series. So I've had a few BMWs there. I've always liked the...
Are you supporting BMW at Le Mans this year?
I don't know. I don't know who I'm supporting. I'm a Le Mans virgin, so I don't really, I'm going to do my Googling and my research, and when I get there and have a look, and I'm not sure yet what I'm going to support, to be honest.
There's a lot of choice. I mean, there are, how many cars? 62 cars? So you can have a pick a mix. You don't have to tie yourself to one car, you can have a multiple. In fact, we'll do a kind of a sweepstakes. Everyone will pick a car from each category, and we'll score points depending on their finishing position, and we'll see at the end of the trip who's the winner. And the people on this trip, Pete, myself, Chris, Phil, and when we get to the campsite, we will rendezvous, because you can say that because we're in France, with Zog and Stevie Sakin. A full complement of on-speeders for Le Mans this year. But let's talk about this car that we're in. Right, I said in the previous programme, or two programmes ago, that one of the reasons that we've got this Hyundai for the trip is that it's got a special trick up its sleeve, which would be very handy for the campsite. But I'm not going to tell you what that is until we get to the campsite. But as a car, listen how quiet it is. Listen. Right, bit of grumble from the hot rolled asphalt on the M40 that we're on at the moment. But it's very refined. It's quite softly sprung, but it doesn't bounce and rebound. Even though it's soft, it keeps it under control. It's quiet because it's a hybrid, and that helps smooth things out. And the motor, it's just a 1.6 four-cylinder petrol engine. And all that torque seems to come from the electric motor, and it's not lacking power in any way, is it?
No, I'm not really giving it much, but yeah, it's just cruising along nicely.
Actually, we have to cruise at 60-something miles per hour because the vehicle behind, being a van, is limited to 60 miles per hour, legally, not, you know, speed limiter, but legally, you got to stay below 60. So we're having an economical drive to Le Mans this year. Last year in the Grenadier, I think we got something like 24, 25 miles to the gallon. At the moment, we're getting about 37 miles to the gallon on this, which, you know, is very important in the days when fuel is as outrageously expensive as it is. And it's going to be about 200 quid's worth of fuel to Le Mans and back from North Wales, because we've got to do 280 miles to New Haven and then similar distance on the other side. So enjoying it. Yeah, really, it's shaped like a brick, this car, and yet the CD, the coefficient of drag for this car, I think is 0.29. So it slows down the air, or 29% of the air hitting it is stopped. That's how efficient it is. And I remember back in the 80s when there was an Audi 100 which advertised its coefficient of drag on the rear window, and it was something like 3 or something like that, which is quite an achievement for a long, slippery car with flush windows. This is a brick, but it's a pretty aerodynamically efficient brick if we're getting a CD of, what is it going to say it was, 28, I don't know how you express it, but yeah, we like it. And it is cavernous, it is voluminous. Like I said, we've got the event shelter in here, we've got a tent, we've got table, we've got cooking gear, we've got our own personal effects, we've got recording gear, we've got most of the instruments all gone in. So if you're looking for a big cavernous lifestyle vehicle, I hate saying that, but it is a lifestyle vehicle, this is what you want. We're about to stop and fuel up before we get to the ferry port. We're in no hurry. It's only 7 o'clock at the moment, and boarding for the ferry is at 9:30, closes at 9:30, so we'll get there in good time, I hope.
Quasiment 295 km/h pour l'Aston Martin numéro 59 pour l'instant. 47th
I don't know how good your French is. Mine is appalling. But I don't think I'm happier anywhere in the world than where I am right now. And as I'm sure you've worked out, there goes a Toyota, Porsche, Ferrari, Mercedes, GT3 cars. Yeah, I'm at Tête Rouge, where the Team Langoustine campsite is... what time is it now? No idea. Apparently it's 10 to 4 in the afternoon. I'm slightly jet-lagged, or ferry-lagged, perhaps. We travelled overnight. We got 11 o'clock ferry, so we arrived in France 4.5 hours later, and only managed to get, I think, about an hour and a half, 2 hours sleep in a chair on the ferry, which was fine. And the journey here was really easy. Man, it was empty from Dieppe to Le Mans. I strongly recommend coming that way. Most people come via Dover from the UK, but I recommend the Newhaven-Dieppe crossing, because you get to have a bit of a nap, and it puts you much closer to Circuit de la Sarre than if you arrive in Dover and have to drive all the way along. That was a Valkyrie LMP2, GP3, another LMP2, Valkyrie. Yeah, doesn't the Valkyrie sound beautiful? It sings. Is it the only V12 running at the circuit? There goes Robin Kubica's Ferrari, followed by the Genesis! Hooray! That's the first time I've seen the Magma Genesis car on track. And there goes the number... Oh, in third place, is that my Ferrari? Both the Ferraris. It's the Peugeot that's in black and white. Oh, right, I get it. Yeah, a special livery this year for the Peugeot. Clock it the first time round. I think it's what it is. This is my first opportunity to look at the cars and identify them. I've been a bit lax. I did most of the driving. We only had two drivers in the car. Peter and I travelled in the car. Pete drove some, I drove some. Usually, I'm reading the Autosport Guide on the way down, but I didn't get much of a chance to do that, so I'm not quite au fait with all the runners and all the new liveries. I love it. Three cars just went through nose and tail. Those LMP2s pop. Quiet Ferrari, actually, of course, Ferrari, I think, that one, I think. The GT3 car, I should say. Aston GT3, big brown buttery sounds, and it goes quiet, so I'll try not to shout. Right, I can see the screen, but the board in front of me, it's not showing the top three at the moment. This is free practice three, by the way. They have Hyperpole a little bit later on, I think at about 11 o'clock tonight. And I shall make sure I know what's going on before then. But I just thought you might appreciate a little bit of the Atmos. And as you know, this position on the bank just before Tête Rouge, where the cars turn right onto, well, Hunardières is what the French call it. We call it the Mulsanne Strait. And they pop and crackle and set themselves up for that exit alongside the Poplars and down Hunardières. Mustang. Oh, very, very careful. Mustang went through very carefully. Would you like a minute or two of pure, uninterrupted car sounds and French commentary? Yeah, I thought you might. So I'll hush up for a moment. Listen to this. In full-fledged, full-fat stereo, this is the sound of Le Mans.
Position 53e position la McLaren garage
pour le Ferrari de Richard de Villepin, c'est du bon 150 km sur le
energy and violence. I find the sound of the cars genuinely soothing, comforting even. As long as there's motor racing, all is well with the world, really. Welcome to Le Mans. Hello, there seems to have been some consternation. Where I'm standing right now, I can see a huge cloud of orange dust blowing through the stands on the other side of the track where I am now. Does that mean someone's gone off into the gravel and has punched some sand into the air? Or is it just simply the wind whipping up the gravel, what have you, well, sand really, by the side of the circuit. I'm walking up towards where the dust seems to have come from, trying to work out its origin for you. I don't think I'm going to be able to. There doesn't seem to be a runoff area here. Oh, gosh, that was loud.
Yes, and
Ferrari. Peugeot. BMW. Peugeot.
Garrett Jones on speed!
I've come back down to our campsite mainly because my battery just died. And I've put in new batteries and I realise they're rechargeable batteries and they're pretty flat. So, hey, we've only got a short chance to chat, but I thought you might want to hear from Chris Ryan. Chris!
Here I am!
You're always somewhere. This is your third Le Mans now, brother.
I'm old school now.
Yeah? Hardcore?
Yeah.
Three times is a habit. You've got the habit now.
Yeah, well accustomed. I am a bit tired, though, the journey here. A couple of hours sleep, if that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, not much food.
Yeah, yes.
Feeling a bit frayed.
Yeah.
Drinking beer to help smooth it out
a
bit.
That'll help. That'll definitely help.
Yes. Just been up to the track for the first time. Great. Seeing all the cars.
It's comforting, isn't it, seeing them?
Yeah, loads of people. Yeah, it's all great. Looking at, Ferrari sounding great, Cadillac sounding great.
Yeah,
distinct lack of Porsches. Very disappointed. Yeah. I spotted one going round.
Yeah.
And a few other cars I didn't recognise. Genesis, you just told me it was this orange one going round. What's that?
It's that
Genesis.
Thing. It's like an orange Ferrari in lots of ways.
Yeah, that's right. And Pete was going, oh, there's that Valkyrie. I said, yeah, I just don't like it.
You don't, how can you not like the Aston Martin Valkyrie?
Well, controversially, very controversial, I just don't like the look of them, don't like the sound of them.
What?
They sound like to me. And they look like a weird squash mosquito frog type thing, and I just, no, not for me.
What's your favourite then?
I'm yet to make mind up, but I like the look of the Ferraris. Yeah. I like the sound of them, like the way they go round.
They look all under control, don't they, the Ferraris?
They really do.
Just
make it look smooth. And while we were up there watching all the cars go around, I found this.
It's a stone.
It's a stone. It's a piece of Le Mans gravel track, I reckon. Found it on the side. Hey, up. Hey, look, there's a piece of... And it'll go in my collection in my van full of shells and snails and little rocks that I found on all my travels. So, yeah, a little piece of Le Mans there going in the van.
Nice! I like
and
that.
And shiny, look, it's all shiny. Somebody's had that in their pocket, I reckon.
It's been polished.
Look at it, yeah.
It looks good.
It looks like a piece of toffee, if anything.
Give us a bite. Yeah, give us a lick. A lick of... Oh, it tastes of rubber.
Yeah, a bit salty.
We've got quite a setup this year at Team Le Mans. We brought more vehicles and more tents than we usually do. Yeah. We've got the... I was going to call it a Genesis, but it's not. It's a Hyundai Santa Fe, to honour the fact that the Hyundai Corporation are racing at Le Mans for the first time this year with Genesis. We welcome them here and their lovely luxury vehicles. And you come in your luxury vehicle. Tell us about it, Chris.
Yeah, Transporter T6.1, 21 plate. So it's the last of the true...
Before it became a Ford.
Yeah, it's a shared platform, but it's the last of the true Volkswagen Transporters. And it's lovely. It's my pride and joy, aren't they, for everybody that has one of these. They just love them.
But I love the way that you've got yours. You've got some great wheels. Sport edition badges on the side.
Yeah, pimped it out, you know, with the flip lid. What do they call it?
The pop top. Flip lid.
Pop tops, swivel seats, lithium batteries, LED lighting, the kitchen, the works, the sink, the rib bed.
Literally the kitchen sink.
Oh, yeah, it's all in there. And, you know, it's just go anywhere, anytime, do anything.
It's perfect for Le Mans, isn't it?
Well, it's just perfect for me, and everywhere we go, we just love it. But, yeah it's perfect for here.
Yeah,
what
more
do you want? And, of course, fridge. Keep your beer cold.
And my oat milk.
Oh, and your oat milk. Yeah. Well, I'm throwing that out tonight.
Half of Conwy is at Le Mans today. We've got Chris Ryan and his brother Pete, who's having a nap at the moment. And my mate Phil Williams, who you'll know from the podcast, is now on your third Le Mans as well. What's it like to be back, Phil?
It's great. Looking forward to a nice big chill out as much as I am as the racing, really. You know,
you're very good at chilling out.
Yeah, I like to think I've dedicated a lot of time to perfecting the art.
And are you still back in the Cadillacs this year, or are you drifting towards any new teams?
No, Cadillac for me again. And I was listening to the guys on the radio earlier on, and they're saying that Cadillac have now got the strongest cars and the strongest teams that they've ever brought to Le Mans.
True.
And I'm confident that they're going to be at least be on the podium this year.
Okay, there's a strong chance. It's a very open field this year. It's hard to predict. You know, the Ferraris are absolutely under control, but it seems that some of the other cars... Alpine were quickest in a session earlier on. I mean, that's unheard of, really.
Well, I think with practice sessions, you never really know who's holding what back, what adjustments they've made to a car, and whether they're just proving it in a test session. So I think that's where it comes from, that it's like one minute, one team is quicker in practice, and then they're slower.
Yeah.
You never really know what's going on. It's all behind closed doors, really, all that.
Yeah, true enough. They keep to their programmes, don't they? They're all running different programmes. They're learning different things on every lap. They're learning about tyre degradation. They're learning about fuel. They're learning about their drivers, aren't they? And, it's a process. It's why it's nice to get here on Thursday. So by the time the race starts, at least we know what colours each of the cars are. Have you been up there to have a look?
I haven't yet, no. I'm going to go after food later on when it cools down a little bit.
Yeah.
The heat goes out, the sun. I'll go and have a sit up there for a while and listen for the Cadillacs coming, which, of course, you can't fucking miss.
No, man, no. Brown! Oh, it's gone quiet. I think this is... The GT3s at the moment, the Road to Le Mans, I think they're having a bit of a practice session at the moment. It's nice and quiet. It's nice when it goes quiet. I love the sound, but when it goes quiet, you do tend to go, ah. We've got a heck of a setup here. Let me talk you through it. You've heard about Chris's Volkswagen. Call it California, is it a California Transporter? It's not a California, is it?
I bought it as a bear van.
Oh, you've converted it?
Got it converted, yeah. And, you know, saved about 20 grand on what do they call it, California is.
Yeah.
But it's even better because I've got better stuff done.
It's lovely, your van. Yeah. No.
So it's all very unique. There's not another one like it.
No, true enough. Yeah, I can always see you drone around.
Which is hard with that sort of van, because, you know, everybody's got one. There's loads of them, they've all customised them, but they're all quite unique.
Yeah, there's another grey one just arrived earlier on, I see.
Yeah, it's similar, but it's not the same.
Not the same. Unique. So we've got this event shelter, which is our base, which is vast. How big is the event shelter? Let's have a look. What is it? 10 foot? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 steps. It's probably 12 foot square. We've got my tent, which is called the Slug, because it looks like a great green slug, although Chris thinks it's black and Phil thinks it's blue, but it's green.
It's black.
It's green. And I've got a single bedroom at one end, and Zog and Stevie arrive tomorrow. They're in the larger double room. It's a very generous double. Phil's got his own brand new single, what is it, nature hike tent. Tell us a story, Phil, about your tent.
Brand new nature hike, two person lightweight tent, British Heart Foundation shop, £3.
How much are they normally?
I think they're about 150.
Right.
Anywhere between 140 and 160, I think they go for, you know, new.
It's made of lovely material, that. It's like rip stops, isn't it?
Yeah,
is that what they call it?
It's nice. What I like about it is the height.
Yeah.
So the other little tent that I've got, you can't sit up in it.
Ah, that's no good. You've got to be able to put your trousers on.
See how tall it is?
Yeah. Just enough nice. To sit up. Yeah, nice. Detail. What else have we got? Well, you know about the Genesis. Sorry, I keep calling it Genesis. It's not. It's a Hyundai. And I told you that it had It had a trick up its sleeve, which is perfect for Le Mans. Because when I called Hyundai and said, oh, you know, Hyundai are at Le Mans this year with Genesis, any chance we can borrow a Santa Fe to go to Le Mans in this year? And they said, yes. Would you like a roof tent? Yes. Because it is an option on the Santa Fe. Is it called Tent Box? Is that the name of the company? Let me just have a look. Yeah, Tent Box. And this is the Tent Box 2. Sorry, the Tent Box Lite 2.0. Designed in Britain, built for adventure. That's what it says. And the joy of this is that whilst it took us, you know, an hour to get the event shelter up and half an hour to get the Slug tent up, that tent box went up in about 3 minutes. No exaggeration. Unzip, open it up like a concertina, drop down the sturdy aluminium ladder to get up, and Mr. Pete Ryan is currently enjoying what I call the penthouse. He's got this all to himself, the lucky so-and-so. Let's have a walk around the campsite. We've got a BMW 5 Series estate here in what I would describe as indigo blue, a really quink blue. And they've got a roof tent on it. Different company. This is from iCamper. And theirs comes with a bit of an awning and flaps that open up with metal supports for ventilation. Nice. Right next door to us is an Ineos Grenadier, a chap called Jamie from he lives in York, but he's from Darlington originally, and they've come in a very similar Grenadier to the one we had last year, but they've got steelies on it, great big steelies and proper off-road tyres, and it looks the business. He was telling me about how you have to adapt your driving style when you're driving one of those. As we learnt last year, it steers in an interesting way, but the perfect vehicle for Le Mans. Big fan of the Ineos Grenadier. I really, really, really am. I hope they manage to do well, but you've heard me say that before. We've got a Land Rover Discovery, which is about the same size. Not we've got, there is a Land Rover Discovery parked next to the Grenadier, and it's about the same size as that Santa Fe. Hasn't the Santa Fe come a long way? It was a bit of an ugly duckling when it first appeared, but now it's matured into a beautifully edgy, blocky bit of design, all straight lines and Do you remember that one I spotted in the last programme or a couple of programmes ago with a graphic style of this Hyundai? It's all H's and horizontal lines and vertical lines, like crosses. They, you know, added a graphic style to it. The Ioniq 5, that has hexagons, I think, as its sort of graphic tone. So I like the way that Hyundai, I said it right, do that. They give each of their cars their own distinctive style. Nice. Is that Luke Donkerwolke? Is that his name? Right, what else have we got here? A Nissan, is that an Aria? No, what do we call that now? It's a Qashqai, of course it is. Another event shelter with a bunch of very chilled guys in it, parked next to a lovely Ford Raptor with a top box on a roof rack that's on the top of the load bed. Yeah, nice. A nice Q8 with big tyres on it, all stickered up for Le Mans. Another Range Rover. A TV of our Chimera in that brilliant colour, that two-tone colour thing that TVR used to do. From some angles it's purple and then from other angles it's green, much like my tent. There's an argument about what colour it is. There's another van. If you're into vans, whilst we're talking about vans, there's another VW Transporter here, and I'm just going to sneak in next to it. That is superbly liveried up. Rothmans Volkswagen. It's got Rothmans colours all over it. Oh, that looks nice. That really does. BMW M5 Estate in green. Lots of estate cars, lots of 4x4s, lots of pickups. Absolutely essential. If you're a camper, you need a vehicle that can transport all your stuff. Ooh, is that a Ferrari 599? Is that what they call that? What do they call that? I'm hopeless with my Ferraris these days. I used to be able to tell them apart, but never know what they're called anymore. But it's in a kind of a gunmetal silver. That's beautiful. I'm whispering because the owner is looking in the boot, the hatch. Lift back, really. That's a Volvo XC70. Is that what we call it? Yeah, in... Team Langoustine stickers, parked next to a Polestar, which of course is also a Volvo, albeit a Chinese Volvo. And some people come here and do it in super style. There are two paradigm trailers here, like the sort of things that F1 drivers cart around in, with pop-out sides and, unfortunately, a generator. At least it's a constant noise. Okay, let's go into the next field. Oh my gosh, look at that. There's another Raptor. This one's got a sort of glass fibre box on the load bay, turning it into a sort of an SUV. And again, that's a pop-up tent. What do you call them? Rooftop tent. Top box tent, whatever you call them. And this one comes with a massive awning. It's got an upstairs and a downstairs. Nice idea. Wonder if it's got a basement as well. Okay, into the next field. You've probably worked out that a lot of people that come to Team Langoustine are pretty wealthy, I would think, judging by the vehicles that they've arrived in and the fact that they keep coming back, because it's not cheap. It's not super expensive, but it's not a cheap option for Le Mans. There are much cheaper options if you want to camp at Le Mans, but the Team Langoustine option is a very good one because of its proximity to the circuit and because of the excellent hosting that the Team Langoustine people do. And as you know, there's a gig tomorrow night, Friday night, by the On Speed band, where we're going to play a set of car songs. There's a nice Mercedes CLK, is that what that is? Yeah, in white. Audi Estates, Renault Estates, another Transporter in sort of gunmetal grey, a Tesla Model S in white. Okay, charged, very good. A camper van, a BMW, what do we call this as well? It's a 3 Series, it's an M3. My gosh, that's wonderful. M4 competition. And it's in a bronze colour. That makes it look very sophisticated. Another camper transporter, and German registered, in sort of a limey, yellowy green, sort of a pissy green. Another Polestar. A few electric cars here. Left-hand drive VW ID4 GTX, German registered. Skoda Estates, Audi RS3, is that RS3? Yes. Again, in grey. Lots of grey cars around at the moment. Is grey the new white? Do you remember there was a period where everybody drove white cars a few years ago? Now they all seem to be... an RX-8. Forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but this RX-8, I drove an RX-8 once, the most difficult car to keep under 120 miles per hour I have ever driven. Just keeps accelerating. There's the new... Transit. I'm hoping next year we might come in a Ford Transit Nugget, because of course Ford will be in the hypercar class next year, and I like to tie the vehicle that we come to Le Mans in with what's happening at the race. And I think it's another Ford year next year. I love the Ford Motor Company, you know that. Another VW Transporter, all Team Langoustine stickered up again. Sort of silver, two-tone. Lower half is grey, upper half is silver. Beautiful, massive American Ford camper. TVRs, more TVRs. Two TVRs, another Chimera, and is that a Griffith? Is that what we call that? And Porsche 911 convertible. A Mercedes, is it the SLS V8 biturbo, or the GT, yeah, the AMG GT, and another 911, 996, I think, is that one, Carrera 4S. Oh, I just turned around, I hadn't noticed it before. Two cars parked, line astern, one in front of the other. At the front, it's an Aston Martin DB4, but it's, DB6. Something looks different about that. What is different about that DB6? It's like a coupe back, like a fast back, and it's parked in front of a Ferrari 328 in red. It's the only Ferrari I've ever driven. 308. 308, not 328. Sorry, my mistake. Which again is the only Ferrari I've ever driven. 308 GTS. Oh, I'm guessing they've got a support vehicle or very small tents, because there's not much room in those vehicles to bring your camping stuff to Le Mans. Another 911, brand new 911, a Macan GTS. If you like your cars, you don't even need to leave the Team Langoustine campsite. It's just enough to keep you entertained here. Another Land Rover Defender, and I'm not sure who these guys are. They're here every year, but they set up a massive base, and they've got a huge Buddha, almost a life-size statue of Buddha, who sits proudly in front of their base. And a pair of Land Rovers. I wish Phil was here now to see this. Phil's a big Land Rover man. He owns two. He's owned probably dozens over the years, certainly a dozen, maybe more than a dozen. And there are two Land Rovers. One is the original Defender, and parked next to it is the new Defender. You can make a comparison between the two of them. And yeah, the new Defender is wider. It's about the same length. It's not the 130, not the long one. It's the shorter one, but it looks great on steelies. It's on steelies. Shiny black steelies. That looks good. Two Land Rovers parked next to each other. 50 years of development between them. Two Defenders, I should say, not Land Rovers. Must use the right nomenclature. And then there's a little village of tents, pop-up tents. How many? not pop-up, but little tents. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10, 10, 10. There's probably 40 tents here, all crammed in together, and that's where all the staff who work at Team Langoustine, that's where they base themselves, because, of course, everybody camps. Wasn't that an R.E.M. song? Everybody camps. And just walking past the hospitality, I suppose you'd call it, tables. There's a bar. The bar is double the size it was last year. And the marquee, we've set up a little stage and PA in the corner for tomorrow. I'm just going to wander over there and just see how it's doing. Hang on. Yes, Chris spent several hours this afternoon setting up the equipment. We've got a drum kit, we've got a PA, we've got two guitar amps. I haven't got a bass amp, I'm playing straight into the PA because I've got a little box which is effectively my bass amp, which gives me all the EQ and compression I need. And I'll be playing bass and singing tomorrow. It's a small stage, but it's big enough for three of us. Well, it's not a stage, we're at ground level. And hopefully the people at Team Langoustine will appreciate what we're doing. No queue at the bar, three staff working busily. You don't have to wait long for a drink if you want one. Right, that's it for this bit, I think, for the moment. Yeah, I'm gonna head back to the campsite and see if Peter's woken up, because one of the great joys of coming to Le Mans is bringing people who have never been here before and watching their reaction as you arrive. You're head twitching, looking at everything. Oh, look at that, look at this, look at that car, look at that. Oh my gosh, it's huge. And Pete, I think, is frankly overwhelmed by Le Mans at the moment. He just had to go and have a lie down, as we all did. I had a lovely 45-minute reset earlier on, very civilised. But yeah, eventually we will talk about motorsport and racing. We will get to that. But a big part of coming to Le Mans is the social aspect. And you get to know people if you keep coming back to campsite. This is my third trip to Team Langoustine, I think, now. Third. I've been coming to Le Mans for 20 years, 24 years, I think. My first one, I think, was 2002, I think. And I missed the two COVID year races, and I missed one other where I was working. So this is perhaps my 21st Le Mans, perhaps. Not entirely certain. Zog's not far behind me. Zog's missed one or two, but not many, and he'll be here tomorrow.
Gareth Jones on speed.
We've come up to Tête Rouge, rushed up. We were just eating and socialising at the Team Langoustine site. Because it's hyperpole or hyperpole right now as a BMW goes by, looking lovely in its yellow, black and red Germanic colours. That's the Cadillac, of course. As is this. You can tell before it arrives in frame. And the third WRT Cadillac. There's the Genesis. Wow! It's got red lights on the back. All the teams have red lights at the back of the cars, of course they do. Ferrari, you've got two horizontal red strips. That Genesis looks like it's probably got four or more. It's a big wall of light. Here come the Astons, the Valkyries, I should say, to differentiate them from the GT3 cars. Listen to the sound of it as it goes down the Mulsanne Strait. Wah! Wah! There's a Ferrari 356, what do we call it? I still don't know the numbers of Ferraris. Grumbles away beneath me. That's a road car leaving the campsite, not one on the circuit. Unfortunately, I can't focus on the screen opposite. It's just a little bit too small. I can't see who is leading Hyperpole at the moment, and I've managed to leave my radio with the commentary down at the campsite, unfortunately. So this is a fairly useless bit of Gareth Jones on Speed. We stand here going, well, we're watching Hyper Bowl. We don't really know exactly what's going on. But they're focusing on the BMW team at the moment in the pit. As it goes quiet here, apart from the helicopters and the commentary and my mumbling. What's this now? It's one of the Ferraris. Which one? Can't see. It's getting dusky here now. It's not dark by any means. It's just dusky and quite cool, which is good for breaking records. The cooler it is, the quicker the cars go, because they can force more air at cooler temperatures into the mix, make the car perform better. So, yeah, if it's cool over the weekend, it could be a record-breaking Le Mans. I'm just watching, what do we call those? Not a drone, but when you've got a camera on a set of rails going up and down the pit lane, and they always struggle to keep up with the cars, but they must have something that is very highly geared this year. As one of the Ferraris overshoots the pit. Even at Le Mans they get that wrong. They look so beautiful. It's lit, of course. We're watching on the screens, and we're seeing what's going on in the pits, and it's brightly lit. And now we switch to a Genesis. Here it comes. Oh no, it's an Alpine. There's your Genesis. Massive rear red lights. Where's the other Genesis? It looks like it means business. Well done, Hyundai. There goes a quiet Toyota. And a loud BMW going very quick. Yes. There's the other Ferrari. And another cab. Dirty, dirty, dirty cars. Genesis sounding mean. Although the Genesis team is Korean, I think it's actually German. I think they're based in Germany, the Hyundai Genesis race team. Astons. The Astons definitely look like a pancake. They are the flattest. I don't remember noticing that last year, but this year they look like the flattest cars on the circuit, which is probably Adrian Newey making the driver sit with his feet above his head to achieve that kind of profile. And it is the only road car, arguably a road car, in hypercar. I said LMP1. I'm so old school. And the whole idea of hypercar was to allow road cars to compete at the highest level. And as you know, Aston were one of the first to put their name forward as a likely entrant, and then didn't for two or three years before finally getting the support of the Heart of Racing team from the USA, Thor, T-H-O-R, to turn them into a competitive team. Although looking at the screens at the moment, I can't read it, but I can see that the two green blocks are at the bottom of hypercar at the moment. So doesn't look like the Astons are as quick now as they have been in testing. Relative speed, of course. I was just talking to Pete about Alpine. This, I understand, is Alpine's last year at Le Mans. They are quitting at the end of this year, and it's rumoured that Alpine will be bought, the team, lock, stock and barrel, by BYD, bringing a Chinese manufacturer to Le Mans. We've had Chinese teams at Le Mans, of course, but we've never had a Chinese manufacturer before. And if they buy up the Alpine team, they're buying a viable proposition, aren't they? Interesting. It's not entirely clear what's happening with Alpine and BYD, because there were rumours that BYD were going to buy the Alpine Formula One team, which is a very different entity to the Signatec Alpine team that race in WEC and at Le Mans. But there you go. Everyone here is very happy, the locals, with a good French representation and a Welsh representation. That's your Mike Conway, Pete. That guy being interviewed right now, that's Mike Conway. And we, of course, live in a town called Conwy, which used to be called Conway when we accepted the English spelling, but we don't. We just use the Welsh spelling, C-O-N-W-Y. So we should be supporting Mike Conway. But I did meet him once, and he wasn't the most dynamic person I've ever had a conversation with. I'm just going to put it that way. And that's it from Le Mans for the moment. But of course, there'll be more coverage from the world's greatest motor race on this podcast as soon as possible. Now, the next episode, which will cover the race, will either appear within 48 hours of this one or in 7 days, depending on how long it takes me to put it together. So keep an eye on your podcatcher and catch you for more On Speed from Le Mans soon. See ya!
Gareth Jones On Speed is made in Wales by Whiz Bang. If you enjoyed this show, then please like, share and subscribe. For information on how to contact the show, see pictures, read song lyrics, follow us on social media, or to sponsor this podcast, go to garethjones.tv.
Gareth Jones On Speed!